the second book of Maccabees. This second book of Maccabees is not a continuation of the history contained in the first, nor does it come down so low as the first does, but relates many of the same facts more at large, and adds other remarkable particulars, omitted in the first book, relating to the state of the Jews, as well before as under the persecution of Antiochus. The author, who is not the same with it of the first book, has given, as we learn from chap. 2.20, etc., a short abstract of what Jason of Cyrene had written in the five volumes, concerning Judas and his brethren. He wrote in Greek, and begins with two letters, sent by the Jews of Jerusalem to their brethren in Egypt. 2 Maccabees chapter 1. Letters of the Jews of Jerusalem to them that were in Egypt. They give thanks for their delivery from Antiochus, and exhort their brethren to keep the feast of the dedication of the altar, and of the miraculous fire. 1:1. To the brethren, the Jews that are throughout Egypt. The brethren, the Jews that are in Jerusalem, and in the land of Judea, send health and good peace. 1:2. May God be gracious to you, and remember his covenant that he made with Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, his faithful servants. 1:3. And give you all a heart to worship him, and to do his will with a great heart, and a willing mind. 1:4. May he open your heart in his law, and in his commandments, and send you peace. 1:5. May he hear your prayers, and be reconciled unto you, and never forsake you in the evil time. 1:6. And now here we are praying for you. 1:7. When Demetrius reigned, in the year 169, we Jews wrote to you in the trouble and violence that came upon us in those years, after Jason withdrew himself from the Holy Land, and from the kingdom. 1:8. They burned the gate, and shed innocent blood. Then we prayed to the Lord, and were heard, and we offered sacrifices, and fine flour, and lighted the lamps, and set forth the loaves. 1:9. And now celebrate ye the days of Senapigia in the month of Casleu. Senapigia, viz., the Encenia, or Feast of the Dedication of the Altar, called here Senapigia, or Feast of Tabernacles, from being celebrated with the like solemnity. 1:10. In the year 188, the people that is at Jerusalem, and in Judea, and the Senate, and Judas, to Aristobulus, the preceptor of King Ptolemy, who is of the stock of the anointed priests, and to the Jews that are in Egypt, health and welfare. 1:11. Having been delivered by God out of great dangers, we give him great thanks, for as much as we have been in war with such a king, viz., Antiochus Sidetes, who began to make war upon the Jews, whilst Simon was yet alive. 1 Mac 15:39. And afterwards besieged Jerusalem under John Hyrcanus, so that the Judas here mentioned, there, 10, is not Judas Maccabeus, who was dead long before the year 188 of the kingdom of the Greeks, for he died in the year 146 of that epoch, see above 1 Mac chap. 2, verse 70, also the note on chap. 1, verse 2, but either Judas the eldest son of John Hyrcanus, or Judas the Essene, renowned for the gift of prophecy, who flourished about that time. 1:12. For he made numbers of men swarm out of Persia, that have fought against us, and the holy city. 1:13. For when the leader himself was in Persia, and with him a very great army, he fell in the temple of Nain, being received by the council of the priests of Nain. Nain, a Persian goddess, which some have taken for Diana, others for Venus. 1:14. For Antiochus, with his friends, came to the place as though he would marry her, and that he might receive great sums of money under the title of a dowry. 1:15. And when the priests of Nain had set it forth, and he with a small company had entered into the compass of the temple, they shut the temple. 1:16. When Antiochus was come in, and opening a secret entrance of the temple, they cast stones and slew the leader, and them that were with him, and hewed them in pieces. And cutting off their heads, they threw them forth. 1:17. Blessed be God in all things, who hath delivered up the wicked. 1:18. Therefore, whereas we purpose to keep the purification of the temple on the 25th day of the month of Casleu, we thought it necessary to signify it to you, that you also may keep the day of Senapigia, and the day of the fire, that was given when Nehemiah offered sacrifice, after the temple and the altar was built. 1:19. For when our fathers were led into Persia, the priests that then were worshippers of God, took privately the fire from the altar, and hid it in a valley where there was a deep pit without water, and there they kept it safe, so that the place was unknown to all men. Persia, Babylonia, called here Persia, from being afterwards a part of the Persian Empire, 120. But when many years had passed, and it pleased God that Nehemiah should be sent by the king of Persia, he sent some of the posterity of those priests that had hid it, to seek for the fire. And as they told us, they found no fire, but thick water. 121. Then he bade them draw it up, and bring it to him. And the priest, Nehemiah, commanded the sacrifices that were laid on, to be sprinkled with the same water, both the wood, and the things that were laid upon it. 122. And when this was done, and the time came that the sun shone out, which before was in a cloud, there was a great fire kindled, so that all wondered. 123. And all the priests made prayer, while the sacrifice was consuming, Jonathan beginning, and the rest answering. 124. And the prayer of Nehemiah was after this manner. O Lord God, Creator of all things, dreadful and strong, just and merciful, who alone art the good King. 125. Who alone art gracious, who alone art just, and almighty, and eternal, who deliverest Israel from all evil, who didst choose the fathers, and didst sanctify them. 126. Receive the sacrifice for all thy people Israel, and preserve thy own portion, and sanctify it. 127. Gather together our scattered people, deliver them that are slaves to the Gentiles, and look upon them that are despised and abhorred, that the Gentiles may know that thou art our God. 128. Punish them that oppress us, and that treat us injuriously with pride. 129. Establish thy people in thy holy place, as Moses hath spoken. 130. And the priest sung hymns till the sacrifice was consumed. 131. And when the sacrifice was consumed, Nehemiah commanded the water that was left to be poured out upon the great stones. 132. Which being done, there was kindled a flame from them. But it was consumed by the light that shined from the altar. 133. And when this matter became public, it was told to the king of Persia, that in the place where the priests that were led away had hid the fire, there appeared water, with which Nehemiah and they that were with him had purified the sacrifices. 134. And the king considering, and diligently examining the matter, made a temple for it, that he might prove what had happened. A temple, that is, an enclosure, or a wall round about the place where the fire was hid, to separate it from profane uses, to the end that it might be respected as a holy place. 135. And when he had proved it, he gave the priests many goods, and divers presents, and he took and distributed them to them with his own hand. 136. And Nehemiah called this place Nephar, which is interpreted purification. But many call it Nephi. 2 Maccabees chapter 2. A continuation of the second letter. Of Jeremiah's hiding the ark at the time of the captivity. The author's preface. 2:1. Now it is found in the descriptions of Jeremiah's, the prophet, that he commanded them that went into captivity, to take the fire, as it hath been signified, and how he gave charge to them that were carried away into captivity. The descriptions, that is, the records or memoirs of Jeremiah's, a work that is now lost. 2:2. And how he gave them the law, that they should not forget the commandments of the Lord, and that they should not err in their minds, seeing the idols of gold, and silver, and the ornaments of them. 2:3. And with other such like speeches, he exhorted them that they would not remove the law from their heart. 2:4. It was also contained in the same writing, how the prophet, being warned by God, commanded that the tabernacle and the ark should accompany him, till he came forth to the mountain where Moses went up, and saw the inheritance of God. 2:5. And when Jeremiah came thither, he found a hollow cave. And he carried into the tabernacle, and the ark, and the altar of incense, and so stopped the door. 2:6. Then some of them that followed him came up to mark the place, but they could not find it. 2:7. And when Jeremiah perceived it, he blamed them, saying, "The place shall be unknown, till God gather together the congregation of the people, and receive them to mercy." 2:8. And then the Lord will shew these things, and the majesty of the Lord shall appear, and there shall be a cloud as it was also shewed to Moses, and he shewed it when Solomon prayed that the place might be sanctified to the great God. 2:9. For he treated wisdom in a magnificent manner, and like a wise man, he offered the sacrifice of the dedication, and of the finishing of the temple. 2:10. And as Moses prayed to the Lord, and fire came down from heaven, and consumed the holocaust, so Solomon also prayed, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the holocaust. 2:11. And Moses said, "Because the sin offering was not eaten, it was consumed." 2:12. So Solomon also celebrated the dedication 8 days. 2:13. and these same things were set down in the memoirs and commentaries of Nehemias, and how he made a library, and gathered together out of the countries the books both of the prophets, and of David, and the epistles of the kings, and concerning the holy gifts. 2:14. And in like manner Judas also gathered together all such things as were lost by the war we had, and they are in our possession. 2:15. Wherefore, if you want these things, send some that may fetch them to you. 2:16. As we are then about to celebrate the purification, we have written unto you, and you shall do well, if you keep the same days, the purification, that is, the feast of the purifying or cleansing of the temple. 2:17. And we hope that God, who hath delivered his people, and hath rendered to all the inheritance, and the kingdom, and the priesthood, and the sanctuary. 2:18. As he promised in the law, will shortly have mercy upon us, and will gather us together from every land under heaven into the holy place. 2:19. For he hath delivered us out of great perils, and hath cleansed the place. 2:20. Now is concerning Judas Maccabeus, and his brethren, and the purification of the great temple, and the dedication of the altar. 2:21. As also the wars against Antiochus, the illustrious, and his son, Jupiter. 2:22. And the manifestations that came from heaven to them, that behaved themselves manfully on the behalf of the Jews, so that, being but a few, they made themselves masters of the whole country, and put to flight the barbarous multitude. 2:23. And recovered again the most renowned temple in all the world, and delivered the city, and restored the laws that were abolished, the Lord with all clemency shewing mercy to them. 2:24. And all such things as have been comprised in 5 books by Jason of Cyrene, we have attempted to abridge in 1 book. 2:25. For considering the multitude of books, and the difficulty that they find that desire to undertake the narrations of histories, because of the multitude of the matter. 2:26. We have taken care for those indeed that are willing to read, that it might be a pleasure of mind, and for the studious, that they may more easily commit to memory, and that all that read might receive profit. 2:27. And as to ourselves indeed, in undertaking this work of abridging, we have taken in hand no easy task, yea, rather a business full of watching and sweat, no easy task, etc. The Spirit of God, that assists the sacred penmen, does not exempt them from labor in seeking out the matter which they are to treat of, and the order and manner in which they are to deliver it. So St. Luke writ the Gospel having diligently attained to all things. Luke 1:3, 2:28. But as they that prepare a feast, and seek to satisfy the will of others, for the sake of many, we willingly undergo the labor. 2:29. Leaving to the authors the exact handling of every particular, and as for ourselves, according to the plan proposed, studying to be brief. 2:30. For if the master builder of a new house must have care of the whole building, but he that taketh care to paint it, must seek out fit things for the adorning of it, so must it be judged of us. 2:31. For to collect all that is to be known, to put the discourse in order, and curiously to discuss every particular point, is the duty of the author of a history. 2:32. But to pursue brevity of speech, and to avoid nice declarations of things, is to be granted to him that maketh an abridgment. 2:33. Here then we will begin the narration. Let this be enough by way of a preface. For it is a foolish thing to make a long prologue, and to be short in the story itself. 2 Maccabees chapter 3. Heliodorus is sent by King Seleucus to take away the treasures deposited in the temple. He is struck by God, and healed by the prayers of the high priest. 3:1. Therefore, when the holy city was inhabited with all peace, and the laws as yet were very well kept, because of the godliness of Ananias, the high priest, and the hatred his soul had of evil. 3:2. It came to pass that even the kings themselves and the princes esteemed the place worthy of the highest honor, and glorified the temple with very great gifts. 3:3. So that Seleucus, king of Asia, allowed out of his revenues all the charges belonging to the ministry of the sacrifices. Seleucus, son of Antiochus the Great, an elder brother of Antiochus Epiphanes. 3:4. But one Simon, of the tribe of Benjamin, who was appointed overseer of the temple, strove in opposition to the high priest, to bring about some unjust thing in the city. 3:5. And when he could not overcome Ananias, he went to Apollonius, the son of Parzes, who at that time was governor of Celesyria, and Phoenician. 3:6. And told him that the treasury in Jerusalem was full of immense sums of money, and the common store was infinite, which did not belong to the account of the sacrifices, and that it was possible to bring all into the king's hands. 3:7. Now when Apollonius had given the king notice concerning the money that he was told of, he called for Heliodorus, who had the charge over his affairs, and sent him with commission to bring him the foresaid money. 3:8. So Heliodorus forthwith began his journey, under a color of visiting the cities of Celesyria and Phoenicia, but indeed to fulfill the king's purpose. 3:9. And when he was come to Jerusalem, and had been courteously received in the city by the high priest, he told him what information had been given concerning the money, and declared the cause for which he was come, and asked if these things were so indeed. 3:10. Then the high priest told him that these were sums deposited, and provisions for the subsistence of the widows and the fatherless. 3:11. And that some part of that which wicked Simon had given intelligence of belonged to Hyrcanus, son of Tobias, a man of great dignity, and that the whole was 400 talents of silver, and 200 of gold. 3:12. But that to deceive them who had trusted to the place and temple which is honored throughout the whole world, for the reverence and holiness of it, was a thing which could not by any means be done. 3:13. But he, by reason of the orders he had received from the king, said, that by all means the money must be carried to the king. 3:14. So on the day he had appointed, Heliodorus entered into order this matter. But there was no small terror throughout the whole city. 3:15. And the priests prostrated themselves before the altar in their priest vestments, and called upon him from heaven, who made the law concerning things given to be kept, that he would preserve them safe, for them that had deposited them. 3:16. Now whosoever saw the countenance of the high priest, was wounded in heart, for his face, and the changing of his color, declared the inward sorrow of his mind. 3:17. For the man was so compassed with sadness and horror of the body, that it was manifest to them that beheld him, what sorrow he had in his heart. 3:18. Others also came flocking together out of their houses, praying and making public supplication, because the place was like to come into contempt. 3:19. And the women, girded with hair cloth about their breasts, came together in the streets. And the virgins also that were shut up, came forth, some to Ananias, and some to the walls, and others looked out of the windows. 3:20. And all holding up their hands towards heaven made supplication. 3:21. For the expectation of the mixed multitude, and of the high priest, who was in an agony, would have moved anyone to pity. 3:22. And these indeed called upon Almighty God, to preserve the things that had been committed to them safe and sure for those that had committed them. 3:23. But Heliodorus executed that which he had resolved on, himself being present in the same place with his guard about the treasury. 3:24. But the Spirit of the Almighty God gave a great evidence of his presence, so that all that had presumed to obey him, falling down by the power of God, were struck with fainting and dread. 3:25. For there appeared to them a horse, with a terrible rider upon him, adorned with a very rich covering. And he ran fiercely and struck Heliodorus with his 4 feet, and he that sat upon him seemed to have armor of gold. 3:26. Moreover there appeared 2 other young men, beautiful and strong, bright and glorious, and in comely apparel, who stood by him, on either side, and scourged him without ceasing with many stripes. 3:27. And Heliodorus suddenly fell to the ground, and they took him up, covered with great darkness, and having put him into a litter, they carried him out. 3:28. So he that came with many servants, and all his guard, into the aforesaid treasury, was carried out, no one being able to help him, the manifest power of God being known. 3:29. And he indeed, by the power of God, lay speechless, and without all hope of recovery. 3:30. But they praised the Lord, because he had glorified his place. And the temple, that a little before was full of fear and trouble, when the Almighty Lord appeared, was filled with joy and gladness. 3:31. Then some of the friends of Heliodorus forthwith begged of Ananias, that he would call upon the Most High to grant him his life, who was ready to give up the ghost. 3:32. So the high priest, considering that the king might perhaps suspect that some mischief had been done to Heliodorus by the Jews, offered a sacrifice of health for the recovery of the man. 3:33. And when the high priest was praying, the same young man in the same clothing stood by Heliodorus, and said to him, give thanks to Ananias the priest, because for his sake the Lord hath granted thee life. 3:34. And thou having been scourged by God, declare unto all men the great works and the power of God. And having spoken thus, they appear no more. 335. So Heliodorus, after he had offered a sacrifice to God, and made great vows to him, that had granted him life, and given thanks to Onias, taking his troops with him, returned to the king. 336. And he testified to all men the works of the great God, which he had seen with his own eyes. 337. And when the king asked Heliodorus, who might be a fit man to be sent yet once more to Jerusalem, he said. 338. If thou hast any enemy, or traitor to thy kingdom, send him thither, and thou shalt receive him again scourged, if so be he escape. For there is undoubtedly in that place a certain power of God. 339. For he that hath his dwelling in the heavens, is the visitor and protector of that place, and he striketh and destroyeth them that come to do evil to it. 340. And the things concerning Heliodorus, and the keeping of the treasury, fell out in this manner. 2 Maccabees chapter 4. Onias has recourse to the king. The ambition and wickedness of Jason and Menelaus. Onias is treacherously murdered. 4:1. But Simon, of whom we spoke before, who was the betrayer of the money, and of his country, spoke ill of Onias, as though he had incited Heliodorus to do these things, and had been the promoter of evils. 4:2. And he presumed to call him a traitor to the kingdom, who provided for the city, and defended his nation, and was zealous for the law of God. 4:3. But when the enmities proceeded so far, that murders also were committed by some of Simon's friends. 4:4. Onias, considering the danger of this contention, and that Apollonius, who was the governor of Cilicia, and Phoenicia, was outrageous, which increased the malice of Simon, went to the king. 4:5. Not to be an accuser of his countrymen, but with view to the common good of all the people. 4:6. For he saw that, except the king took care, it was impossible that matters should be settled in peace, or that Simon would cease from his folly. 4:7. But after the death of Seleucus, when Antiochus, who was called the Illustrious, had taken possession of the kingdom, Jason, the brother of Onias, ambitiously sought the high priesthood. 4:8. And went to the king, promising him 360 talents of silver, and out of other revenues 80 talents. 4:9. Besides this he promised also 150 more, if he might have license to set him up a place for exercise, and a place for youth, and to entitle them that were at Jerusalem, Antiochians. 4:10. Which when the king had granted, and he had gotten the rule into his hands, forthwith he began to bring over his countrymen to the fashion of the heathens. 4:11. And abolishing those things, which had been decreed of special favor by the kings in behalf of the Jews, by the means of Don, the father of the Eupolemus, who went ambassador to Rome to make amity and alliance, he disannulled the lawful ordinances of the citizens, and brought in fashions that were perverse. 4:12. For he had the boldness to set up, under the very castle, a place of exercise, and to put all the choicest youths in brothel houses. 4:13. Now this was not the beginning, but an increase and progress of heathenish and foreign manners, through the abominable and unheard of wickedness of Jason, that impious wretch, and no priest. 4:14. Insomuch that the priests were not now occupied about the offices of the altar, but despising the temple and neglecting the sacrifices, hastened to be partakers of the games, and of the unlawful allowance thereof, and of the exercise of the discus. 4:15. And setting not by the honors of their fathers, they esteemed the Grecian glories for the best. 4:16. For the sake of which they incurred a dangerous contention, and followed earnestly their ordinances, and in all things they coveted to be like them, who were their enemies and murderers. 4:17. For acting wickedly against the laws of God doth not pass unpunished, but this the time following will declare. 4:18. Now when the game that was used every fifth year was kept at Tyre, the king being present. 4:19. The wicked Jason sent from Jerusalem sinful men, to carry 300 didrachmas of silver for the sacrifice of Hercules. But the bearers thereof desired it might not be bestowed on the sacrifices, because it was not necessary, but might be deputed for other charges. 4:20. So the money was appointed by him that sent it to the sacrifice of Hercules, but because of them that carried it was employed for the making of galleys. 4:21. Now when Apollonius, the son of Nesphius, was sent into Egypt to treat with the nobles of King Philometor, and Antiochus understood that he was wholly excluded from the affairs of the kingdom, consulting his own interest, he departed thence and came to Joppe, and from thence to Jerusalem. 4:22. where he was received in a magnificent manner by Jason, and the city, and came in with torchlights, and with praises, and from thence he returned with his army into Phoenicia. 4:23. 3 years afterwards Jason sent Menelaus, brother of the aforesaid Simon, to carry money to the king, and to bring answers from him concerning certain necessary affairs. 4:24. But he being recommended to the king, when he had magnified the appearance of his power, got the high priesthood for himself, by offering more than Jason by 300 talents of silver. 4:25. So having received the king's mandate, he returned, bringing nothing worthy of the high priesthood, but having the mind of a cruel tyrant, and the rage of a savage beast. 4:26. Then Jason, who had undermined his own brother, being himself undermined, was driven out a fugitive into the country of the Ammonites. 4:27. So Menelaus got the principality. But as for the money he had promised to the king, he took no care, when Sostratus, the governor of the castle, called for it. 4:28. For to him appertained the gathering of the taxes, wherefore they were both called before the king. 4:29. And Menelaus was removed from the priesthood, Lysimachus, his brother, succeeding. And Sostratus at last made governor of the Cyprians. 4:30. When these things were in doing, it fell out that they of Tharsus, and Malos, raised a sedition, because they were given for a gift to Antiochus, the king's concubine. 4:31. The king, therefore, went in all haste to appease them, leaving Andronicus, one of his nobles, for his deputy. 4:32. Then Menelaus, supposing that he had found a convenient time, having stolen certain vessels of gold out of the temple, gave them to Andronicus, and others he had sold at Tyre, and in the neighboring cities. 4:33. Which when Ananias understood most certainly, he reproved him, keeping himself in a safe place at Antioch, beside Daphne. 4:34. Whereupon Menelaus coming to Andronicus, desired him to kill Ananias. And he went to Ananias, and gave him his right hand with an oath, and, though he were suspected by him, persuaded him to come forth out of the sanctuary, and immediately slew him, without any regard to justice. 4:35. For which cause not only the Jews, but also the other nations, conceived indignation, and were much grieved for the unjust murder of so great a man. 4:36. And when the king was come back from the places of Cilicia, the Jews that were at Antioch, and also the Greeks, went to him, complaining of the unjust murder of Ananias. 4:37. Antiochus, therefore, was grieved in his mind for Ananias, and being moved to pity, shed tears, remembering the sobriety and modesty of the deceased. 4:38. And being inflamed to anger, he commanded Andronicus to be stripped of his purple, and to be led about through all the city, and that in the same place wherein he had committed the impiety against Ananias, the sacrilegious wretch should be put to death, the Lord repaying him his deserved punishment. 4:39. Now when many sacrileges had been committed by Lysimachus in the temple, by the counsel of Menelaus, and the rumor of it was spread abroad, the multitude gathered themselves together against Lysimachus, a great quantity of gold being already carried away. 4:40. Wherefore the multitude making an insurrection, and their minds being filled with anger, Lysimachus armed about 3,000 men, and began to use violence, one Tyrannus being captain, a man far gone both in age and in madness. 4:41. But when they perceived the attempt of Lysimachus, some caught up stones, some strong clubs, and some threw ashes upon Lysimachus. 4:42. And many of them were wounded, and some struck down to the ground, but all were put to flight. And as for the sacrilegious fellow himself, they slew him beside the treasury. 4:43. Now concerning these matters, an accusation was laid against Menelaus. 4:44. And when the king was come to Tyre, three men were sent from the ancients to plead the cause before him. 4:45. But Menelaus being convicted, promised Ptolemy to give him much money to persuade the king to favor him. Ptolemy, the son of Norimanus, a favorite of the king. 4:46. So Ptolemy went to the king in a certain court where he was, as it were, to cool himself, and brought him to be of another mind. 4:47. So Menelaus, who was guilty of all the evil, was acquitted by him of the accusations. And those poor men, who, if they had pleaded their cause even before Scythians, should have been judged innocent, were condemned to death. 4:48. Thus they that persecuted the cause for the city, and for the people, and the sacred vessels, did soon suffer unjust punishment. 4:49. Wherefore even the Tyrians, being moved with indignation, were very liberal towards their burial. 450. And so through the covetousness of them that were in power, Menelaus continued in authority, increasing in malice to the betraying of the citizens. 2 Maccabees chapter 5. Wonderful signs are seen in the air. Jason's wickedness an end. Antiochus takes Jerusalem, and plunders the temple. 5-1. At the same time Antiochus prepared for a second journey into Egypt. 5:2. And it came to pass, that through the whole city of Jerusalem, for the space of 40 days, there were seen horsemen running in the air, in gilded raiment, and armed with spears, like bands of soldiers. 5:3. And horses set in order by ranks, running one against another, with the shakings of shields, and a multitude of men in helmets, with drawn swords, and casting of darts, and glittering of golden armor, and of harnesses of all sorts. 5:4. Wherefore all men prayed that these prodigies might turn to good. 5:5. Now when there was gone forth a false rumor as though Antiochus had been dead, Jason taking with him no fewer than 1,000 men, suddenly assaulted the city. And though the citizens ran together to the wall, the city at length was taken, and Menelaus fled into the castle. 5:6. But Jason slew his countrymen without mercy, not considering that prosperity against one's own kindred is a very great evil, thinking they had been enemies, and not citizens, whom he conquered. 5:7. Yet he did not get the principality, but received confusion at the end, for the reward of his treachery, and fled again into the country of the Ammonites. 5:8. At the last, having been shut up by Aretas, the king of the Arabians, in order for his destruction, flying from city to city, hated by all men, as a forsaker of the laws and execrable, as an enemy of his country and countrymen, he was thrust out into Egypt. 5:9. And he that had driven many out of their country perished in a strange land, going to Lacedaemon, as if for kindred's sake he should have refuge there. 5:10. But he that had cast out many and buried, was himself cast forth both and lamented and buried, neither having foreign burial, nor being partaker of the sepulchre of his fathers. 5:11. Now when these things were done, the king suspected that the Jews would forsake the alliance. Whereupon departing out of Egypt with a furious mind, he took the city by force of arms. 5:12. And commanded the soldiers to kill, and not to spare any that came in their way, and to go up into the houses to slay. 5:13. Thus there was a slaughter of young and old, destruction of women and children, and killing of virgins and infants. 5:14. And there were slain in the space of 3 whole days 80,000, 40,000 were made prisoners, and as many sold. 5:15. But this was not enough, he presumed also to enter into the temple, the most holy in all the world Menelaus, the traitor to the laws, and to his country, being his guide. 5:16. And taking in his wicked hands the holy vessels, which were given by other kings in cities, for the ornament and the glory of the place, he unworthily handled and profaned them. 5:17. Thus Antiochus going astray in mind, did not consider that God was angry for a while, because of the sins of the inhabitants of the city, and therefore this contempt had happened to the place. 5:18. Otherwise had they not been involved in many sins, as Heliodorus, who was sent by King Seleucus to rob the treasury, said this man also, as soon as he had come, had been forthwith scourged, and put back from his presumption. 5:19. But God did not choose the people for the place's sake, but the place for the people's sake. 5:20. And, therefore, the place also itself was made partaker of the evils of the people, but afterwards shall communicate in the good things thereof, and as it was forsaken in the wrath of Almighty God, shall be exalted again with great glory, when the great Lord shall be reconciled. 5:21. So when Antiochus had taken away out of the temple 1,800 talents, he went back in all haste to Antioch, thinking through pride that he might now make the land navigable, and the sea passable on foot. Such was the haughtiness of his mind. 5:22. He left also governors to afflict the people. At Jerusalem, Philip, a Phrygian by birth, but in manners more barbarous than he that set him there. 5:23. And in Tazarim, Andronicus and Menelaus, who bore a more heavy hand upon the citizens than the rest. 5:24. And whereas he was set against the Jews, he sent that hateful prince, Apollonius, with an army of 22,000 men, commanding him to kill all that were of perfect age, and to sell the women and the younger sort. 5:25. Who, when he was come to Jerusalem, pretending peace, rested till the holy day of the Sabbath. And then the Jews keeping holiday, He commanded his men to take arms. 5:26. And he slew all that were come forth to flee. And running through the city with armed men, he destroyed a very great multitude. 5:27. But Judas Maccabeus, who was the tenth, had withdrawn himself into a desert place, and there lived amongst wild beasts in the mountains with his company. And they continued feeding on herbs, that they might not be partakers of the pollution. Was the tenth. That is, he had nine others in his company. 2 Maccabees chapter 6. Antiochus commands the law to be abolished, sets up an idol in the temple, and persecutes the faithful. The martyrdom of Eleazar. 6:1. But not long after, the king sent a certain old man of Antioch, to compel the Jews to depart from the laws of their fathers and of God. 6:2. And to defile the temple that was in Jerusalem, and to call it the temple of Jupiter Olympius, and the Tancarism of Jupiter Hospitalis, according as they were that inhabited the place, that in Tazarim, viz., the temple of the Samaritans, and as they were originally strangers, the name of Hospitalis, which signifies of or belonging to strangers, was applicable to the idol set up in their temple. 6:3. And very big was this invasion of evils, and grievous to all. 6:4. For the temple was full of the riot and revelings of the Gentiles, and of men lying with lewd women, and women thrust themselves of their accord into the holy places, and brought in things that were not lawful. 6:5. The altar also was filled with unlawful things, which were forbidden by the laws. 6:6. And neither were the Sabbaths kept, nor the solemn days of the fathers observed, neither did any man plainly profess himself to be a Jew. 6:7. But they were led by bitter constraint on the king's birthday to the sacrifices. And when the feast of Bacchus was kept, they were compelled to go about crowned with ivy in honor of Bacchus. 6:8. And there went out a decree into the neighboring cities of the Gentiles, by the suggestion of the Ptolemans, that they also should act in like manner against the Jews, to oblige them to sacrifice. 6:9. And whosoever would not conform themselves to the ways of the Gentiles, should be put to death. Then was misery to be seen. 6:10. For 2 women were accused to have circumcised their children, whom, when they had openly led about through the city, with the infants hanging at their breasts, they threw down headlong from the walls. 6:11. And others that had met together in caves that were near, and were keeping the Sabbath day privately, being discovered by Philip, were burnt with fire, because they made a conscience to help themselves with their hands, by reason of the religious observance of the day. Philip, the governor of Jerusalem. 6:12. Now I beseech those that shall read this book, that they be not shocked at these calamities, but that they consider the things that happened, not as being for the destruction, but for the correction of our nation. 6:13. For it is a token of great goodness, when sinners are not suffered to go on in their ways for a long time, but are presently punished. 6:14. For, not as with other nations, whom the Lord patiently expecteth, that when the day of judgment shall come, he may punish them in the fullness of their sins. 6:15. Doth he also deal with us, so as to suffer our sins to come to their height, and then take vengeance on us. 6:16. And therefore he never withdraweth his mercy from us. But though he chastise his people with adversity, he forsaketh them not. 6:17. But let this suffice in a few words for a warning to the readers. And now we must come to the narration. 6:18. Eleazar, one of the chief of the scribes, a man advanced in years, and of a comely countenance, was pressed to open his mouth to eat swine's flesh. 6:19. But he, choosing rather a most glorious death than a hateful life, went forward voluntarily to the torment. 6:20. And considering in what manner he was to come to it, patiently bearing, he determined not to do any unlawful things for the love of life. 6:21. But they that stood by, being moved with wicked pity, for the old friendship they had with the man, taking him aside, desired that flesh might be brought which it was lawful for him to eat, that he might make as if he had eaten, as the king had commanded, of the flesh of the sacrifice. Wicked pity. Their pity was wicked, inasmuch as it suggested that wicked proposal of saving his life by dissimulation. 6:22. That by so doing he might be delivered from death, and for the sake of their old friendship with the man, they did him this courtesy. 6:23. But he began to consider the dignity of his age, and his ancient years, and the inbred honor of his gray head, and his good life and conversation from a child. And he answered without delay, according to the ordinances of the holy law made by God, saying, that he would rather be sent into the other world. 6:24. For it doth not become our age, said he, to dissemble, whereby many young persons might think that Eleazar, at the age of 80 years, was gone over to the life of the heathens. 6:25. And so they, through my dissimulation, and for a little time of a corruptible life, should be deceived, and thereby I should bring a stain and a curse upon my old age. 6:26. For though, for the present time, I should be delivered from the punishments of men, yet should I not escape the hand of the Almighty, neither alive nor dead. 6:27. Wherefore, by departing manfully out of this life, I shall shew myself worthy of my old age. 6:28. And I shall leave an example of fortitude to young men, if with a ready mind and constancy I suffer an honorable death, for the most venerable and most holy laws. And having spoken thus, he was forthwith carried to execution. 6:29. And they that led him, and had been a little before more mild, were changed to wrath for the words he had spoken, which they thought were uttered out of arrogancy. 6:30. But when he was now ready to die with the stripes, he groaned, and said, O Lord, who hast the holy knowledge, thou knowest manifestly that whereas I might be delivered from death, I suffer grievous pains in body, but in soul am well content to suffer these things, because I fear thee. 6:31. Thus did this man die, leaving not only to young men, but also to the whole nation, the memory of his death, for an example of virtue and fortitude. 2 Maccabees chapter 7. The glorious martyrdom of the 7 brethren and their mother. 7:1. It came to pass also, that 7 brethren, together with their mother, were apprehended, and compelled by the king to eat swine's flesh against the law, for which end they were tormented with whips and scourges. 7:2. But one of them, who was the eldest, said thus, What wouldst thou ask, or learn of us? We are ready to die, rather than to transgress the laws of God, received from our fathers. 7:3. Then the king being angry, commanded frying pans and brazen cauldrons to be made hot, which forthwith being heated. 7:4. He commanded to cut out the tongue of him that had spoken first, and the skin of his head being drawn off, to chop off also the extremities of his hands and feet, the rest of his brethren and his mother looking on. 7:5. And when he was now maimed in all parts, he commanded him, being yet alive, to be brought to the fire, and to be fried in the frying pan. And while he was suffering therein long torments, the rest, together with the mother, exhorted one another to die manfully. 7:6. Saying, The Lord God will look upon the truth, and will take pleasure in us, as Moses declared in the profession of the canticle, and in his servants he will take pleasure. 7:7. So when the first was dead after this manner, they brought the next to make him a mocking stock. And when they had pulled off the skin of his head with the hair, they asked him if he would eat, before he were punished throughout the whole body and every limb. 7:8. But he answered in his own language, and said, I will not do it. Wherefore he also, in the next place, received the torments of the first. 7:9. And when he was at the last gasp, he said thus, Thou indeed, O most wicked man, destroyest us out of this present life. But the King of the world will raise us up, who die for his loss, in the resurrection of eternal life. 7:10. After him the third was made a mocking stock, and when he was required, he quickly put forth his tongue, and courageously stretched out his hands. 7:11. And said with confidence, These I have from heaven, but for the laws of God I now despise them, because I hope to receive them again from him. 7:12. So that the king, and they that were with him, wondered at the young man's courage, because he esteemed the torments as nothing. 7:13. And after he was thus dead, they tormented the fourth in the like manner. 7:14. And when he was now ready to die, he spoke thus, It is better, being put to death by men, to look for hope from God, to be raised up again by him. For, as to thee, thou shalt have no resurrection unto life. 7:15. And when they had brought the fifth, they tormented him. But he, looking upon the king, 7:16, said, Whereas thou hast power among men though thou art corruptible, thou dost what thou wilt but think not that our nation is forsaken by God. 7:17. But stay patiently a while, and thou shalt see his great power, in what manner he will torment thee and thy seed. 7:18. After him they brought the sixth, and he being ready to die, spoke thus, Be not deceived without cause. For we suffer these things for ourselves, having sinned against our God, and things worthy of admiration are done to us. 7:19. But do not think that thou shalt escape unpunished, for that thou hast attempted to fight against God. 7:20. Now the mother was to be admired above measure, and worthy to be remembered by good men, who beheld her seven sons slain in the space of one day, and bore it with a good courage, for the hope that she had in God. 7:21. And she bravely exhorted every one of them in her own language, being filled with wisdom, and joining a man's heart to a woman's thought. 7:22. She said to them, I know not how you were formed in my womb, for I neither gave you breath, nor soul, nor life, neither did I frame the limbs of every one of you. 7:23. But the Creator of the world, that formed the nativity of man, and that found out the origin of all, he will restore to you again, in his mercy, both breath and life, as now you despise yourselves for the sake of his loss. 7:24. Now Antiochus, thinking himself despised, and withal despising the voice of the upbraider, when the youngest was yet alive, did not only exhort him by words, but also assured him with an oath, that he would make him a rich and a happy man, and, if he would turn from the laws of his fathers, would take him for a friend, and furnish him with things necessary. 7:25. But when the young man was not moved with these things, the king called the mother, and counseled her to deal with the young man to save his life. 7:26. And when he had exhorted her with many words, she promised that she would counsel her son. 7:27. So bending herself towards him, mocking the cruel tyrant, she said in her own language, My son, have pity upon me, that bore thee 9 months in my womb, and gave thee suck 3 years, and nursed thee, and brought thee up unto this age. 7:28. I beseech thee, my son, look upon heaven and earth, and all that is in them, and consider that God made them out of nothing, and mankind also. 7:29. So thou shalt not fear this tormentor, but being made a worthy partner with thy brethren, receive death, that in that mercy I may receive thee again with thy brethren. 7:30. While she was yet speaking these words, the young man said, For whom do you state? I will not obey the commandment of the king, but the commandment of the law which was given us by Moses. 7:31. But thou that hast been the author of all mischief against the Hebrews, shalt not escape the hand of God. 7:32. For we suffer thus for our sins. 7:33. And though the Lord, our God, is angry with us a little while, for our chastisement and correction, yet he will be reconciled again to his servants. 7:34. But thou, O wicked, and of all men most flagitious, be not lifted up without cause with vain hopes, whilst thou art raging against his servants. 7:35. For thou hast not yet escaped the judgment of the Almighty God, who beholdeth all things. 7:36. For my brethren, having now undergone a short pain, are under the covenant of eternal life. But thou, by the judgment of God, shalt receive just punishment for thy pride. 7:37. But I, like my brethren, offer up my life and my body for the laws of our fathers, calling upon God to be speedily merciful to our nation, and that thou by torments and stripes mayest confess that he alone is God. 7:38. But in me, and in my brethren, the wrath of the Almighty, which hath justly been brought upon all our nation, shall cease. 7:39. Then the king, being incensed with anger, raged against him more cruelly than all the rest, taking it grievously that he was mocked. 7:40. So this man also died undefiled, wholly trusting in the Lord. 7:41. And last of all, after the sons, the mother also was consumed. 7:42. But now there is enough said of the sacrifices and of the excessive cruelties. 2 Maccabees chapter 8. Judas Maccabeus gathering an army gains divers victories. 8:1. But Judas Maccabeus, and they that were with him, went privately unto the towns, and calling together their kinsmen and friends, and taking unto them such as continued in the Jews' religion, they assembled 6,000 men. 8:2. And they called upon the Lord, that he would look upon his people that was trodden down by all, and would have pity on the temple, that was defiled by the wicked. 8:3. That he would have pity also upon the city that was destroyed, that was ready to be made even with the ground, and would hear the voice of the blood that cried to him. 8:4. That he would remember also the most unjust deaths of innocent children, and the blasphemies offered to his name, and would shew his indignation on this occasion. 8:5. Now when Maccabeus had gathered a multitude, he could not be withstood by the heathens, for the wrath of the Lord was turned into mercy. 8:6. So coming unawares upon the towns and cities, he set them on fire, and taking possession of the most commodious places, he made no small slaughter of the enemies. 8:7. And especially in the nights he went upon these expeditions, and the fame of his valor was spread abroad everywhere. 8:8. Then Philip, seeing that the man gained ground by little and little, and that things for the most part succeeded prosperously with him, wrote to Ptolemy, the governor of Celesyria and Phoenicia, to send aid to the king's affairs. Philip seeing, etc., the governor of Jerusalem found himself unable to contend with Judas, especially after the victories he had obtained over Apollonius and Siron 1 Mac 3:8:9, and he with all speed sent Nicanor, the son of Patroclus, one of his special friends, giving him no fewer than 20,000 armed men of different nations, to root out the whole race of the Jews, joining also with him Gorgias, a good soldier, and of great experience in matters of war. 20,000. The whole number of the forces sent at that time into Judea was 40,000 footmen, and 7,000 horsemen, 1 Mac 3:30. But only 20,000 are here taken notice of, because there were not more with Nicanor at the time of the battle. 8:10. And Nicanor purposed to raise for the king the tribute of 2,000 talents, that was to be given to the Romans, by making so much money of the captive Jews. 8:11. Wherefore he sent immediately to the cities upon the sea coast, to invite men together to buy up the Jewish slaves, promising that they should have 90 slaves for 1 talent, not reflecting on the vengeance which was to follow him from the Almighty. 8:12. Now when Judas found that Nicanor was coming, he imparted to the Jews that were with him, that the enemy was at hand. 8:13. And some of them being afraid, and distrusting the justice of God, fled away. 8:14. Others sold all that they had left, and withal besought the Lord, that he would deliver them from the wicked Nicanor, who had sold them before he came near them. 8:15. And if not for their sakes, yet for the covenant that he had made with their fathers, and for the sake of his holy and glorious name that was invoked upon them. 8:16. But Maccabeus, calling together 7,000 that were with him, exhorted them not to be reconciled to the enemies, nor to fear the multitude of the enemies who came wrongfully against them, but to fight manfully. 7,000. In the Greek it is 6,000. But then 3,000 of them had no arms. 1 Mac 4:6. 8:17. Setting before their eyes the injury they had unjustly done the holy place, and also the injury they had done to the city, which had been shamefully abused, besides their destroying the ordinances of the fathers. 8:18. For, said he, they trust in their weapons, and in their boldness. But we trust in the Almighty Lord, who at a beck can utterly destroy both them that come against us, and the whole world. 8:19. Moreover, he put them in mind also of the helps their fathers had received from God, and how, under Sennacherib, 185,000 had been destroyed. 8:20. And of the battle that they had fought against the Galatians, in Babylonia, how they, being in all but 6,000, when it came to the point, and the Macedonians, their companions, were to stand, slew 120,000, because of the help they had from heaven, and for this they received many favors. Galatians. That is, the Gauls, who having ravaged Italy and Greece, poured themselves in upon Asia, in immense multitudes, where also they founded the kingdom of Galatia or Gallo-Graecia. 8:21. With these words they were greatly encouraged and disposed even to die for the laws in their country. 8:22. So he appointed his brethren captains over each division of his army, Simon, and Joseph, and Jonathan, giving to each one 1,500 men. 8:23. And after the holy book had been read to them by Esdras, and he had given them for a watchword, the help of God, himself leading the first band, he joined battle with Nicanor. 8:24. And the Almighty being their helper, they slew above 9,000 men. And having wounded and disabled the greater part of Nicanor's army, they obliged them to fly. Above 9,000. Viz., including the 3,000 slain in the pursuit. 8:25. And they took the money of them that came to buy them, and they pursued them on every side. 8:26. But they came back for want of time, for it was the day before the Sabbath, and therefore they did not continue the pursuit. 8:27. But when they had gathered together their arms and their spoils, they kept the Sabbath, blessing the Lord who had delivered them that day, distilling the beginning of mercy upon them. 8:28. Then after the Sabbath they divided the spoils to the feeble and the orphans, and the widows, and the rest they took for themselves and their servants. 8:29. When this was done, and they had all made a common supplication, they besought the merciful Lord to be reconciled to his servants unto the end. 8:30. Moreover, they slew above 20,000 of them that were with Timotheus and Bacchides, who fought against them, and they made themselves masters of the high strongholds. And they divided amongst them many spoils, giving equal portions to the feeble, the fatherless, and the widows, yea, and the aged also. 8:31. And when they had carefully gathered together their arms, they laid them all up in convenient places, and the residue of their spoils they carried to Jerusalem. 8:32. They slew also Phortus, who was with Timotheus, a wicked man, who had many ways afflicted the Jews. 8:33. And when they kept the feast of the victory at Jerusalem, they burnt Callisthenes, that had set fire to the holy gates, who had taken refuge in a certain house, rendering to him a worthy reward for his impieties. 8:34. But as for that most wicked man, Nicanor, who had brought 1,000 merchants to the sale of the Jews. 8:35. Being, through the help of the Lord, brought down by them, of whom he had made no account, laying aside his garment of glory, fleeing through the midland country, he came alone to Antioch, being rendered very unhappy by the destruction of his army, laying aside his garment of glory, that is, his splendid apparel, which he wore through ostentation. He now throws it off, lest he should be known on his flight. 8:36. And he that had promised to levy the tribute for the Romans, by the means of the captives of Jerusalem, now professed that the Jews had God for their protector, and therefore they could not be hurt, because they followed the laws appointed by him. 2 Maccabees chapter 9. The wretched end, and fruitless repentance of King Antiochus. 9:1. At that time Antiochus returned with dishonor out of Persia. 9:2. For he had entered into the city called Persepolis, and attempted to rob the temple, and to oppress the city, but the multitude running together to arms, put them to flight. And so it fell out that Antiochus being put to flight, returned with disgrace. Persepolis, otherwise called Elymais. 9:3. Now when he was come about Ecbatana, he received the news of what had happened to Nicanor and Timotheus. 9:4. And swelling with anger, he thought to revenge upon the Jews the injury done by them that had put him to flight. And therefore he commanded his chariot to be driven, without stopping in his journey, the judgment of heaven urging him forward, because he had spoken so proudly, that he would come to Jerusalem, and make it a common burying place of the Jews. 9:5. But the Lord, the God of Israel, that seeth all things, struck him with an incurable and an invisible plague. For as soon as he had ended these words, a dreadful pain in his bowels came upon him, and bitter torments the inner parts. 9:6. And indeed very justly, seeing he had tormented the bowels of others with many and new torments, albeit he by no means ceased from his malice. 9:7. Moreover, being filled with pride, breathing out fire in his rage against the Jews, and commanding the matter to be hastened, it happened as he was going with violence, that he fell from the chariot, so that his limbs were much pained by a grievous bruising of the body. 9:8. Thus he that seemed to himself to command even the waves of the sea, being proud above the condition of man, and to weigh the heights of the mountains in a balance, now being cast down to the ground, was carried in a litter, bearing witness to the manifest power of God in himself. 9:9. So that worms swarmed out of the body of this man, and whilst he lived in sorrow and pain, his flesh fell off, and the filthiness of his smell was noisome to the army. 9:10. And the man that thought a little before he could reach to the stars of heaven, no man could endure to carry, for the intolerable stench. 9:11. And by this means, being brought from his great pride, he began to come to the knowledge of himself, being admonished by the scourge of God, his pains increasing every moment. 9:12. And when he himself could not now abide his own stench, he spoke thus: It is just to be subject to God, and that a mortal man should not equal himself to God. 9:13. Then this wicked man prayed to the Lord, of whom he was not like to obtain mercy, because his repentance was not for the offense committed against God, but barely on account of his present sufferings. 9:14. And the city, to which he was going in haste to lay it even with the ground, and to make it a common burying place, he now desireth to make free. 9:15. And the Jews, whom he said he would not account worthy to be so much as buried, but would give them up to be devoured by the birds and wild beasts, and would utterly destroy them with their children, he now promises to make equal with the Athenians. 9:16. The holy temple also, which before he had spoiled, he promised to adorn with goodly gifts, and to multiply the holy vessels, and to allow out of his revenues the charges pertaining to the sacrifices. 9:17. Yea also, that he would become a Jew himself, and would go through every place of the earth, and declare the power of God.
9:18.
But his pains not ceasing, for the just judgment of God was come upon him, despairing of life, he wrote to the Jews, in the manner of a supplication, a letter in these words.
9:19.
To his very good subjects the Jews, Antiochus, king and ruler, wisheth much health, and welfare, and happiness.
9:20.
If you and your children are well, and if all matters go with you to your mind, we give very great thanks.
9:21.
As for me, being infirm, but yet kindly remembering you, returning out of the places of Persia, and being taken with a grievous disease, I thought it necessary to take care for the common good.
9:22.
Not distrusting my life, but having great hope to escape the sickness.
9:23.
But considering that my father also, at that time he led an army into the higher countries, appointed who should reign after him.
9:24.
To the end that if anything contrary to expectation should fall out, or any bad tidings should be brought, they that were in the countries, knowing to whom the whole government was left, might not be troubled.
9:25.
Moreover, considering that neighboring princes and borders wait for opportunities, and expect what shall be the event, I have appointed my son, Antiochus, king, whom the first often recommended to many of you, when I went into the higher provinces, and I have written to him what I have joined here below.
9:26.
I pray you, therefore, and request of you, that, remembering favors both public and private, you will every man of you continue to be faithful to me and to my son.
9:27.
For I trust that he will behave with moderation and humanity, and following my intentions, will be gracious unto you.
9:28.
Thus the murderer and blasphemer, being grievously struck, as himself had treated others, died a miserable death in a strange country, among the mountains.
9:29.
But Philip, that was brought up with him, carried away his body, and out of fear of the son of Antiochus, went into Egypt to Ptolemy Philometor. 2 Maccabees chapter 10. The purification of the temple and city. Other exploits of Judas. His victory over Timotheus. 10:1. But Maccabeus, and they that were with him, by the protection of the Lord, recovered the temple and the city again. 10:2. But he threw down the altars which the heathens had set up in the streets, as also the temples of the idols.
10:3.
And having purified the temple, they made another altar. And taking fire out of the fiery stones, they offered sacrifices after 2 years, and set forth incense, and lamps, and the loaves of proposition.
10:4.
And when they had done these things, they besought the Lord, lying prostrate on the ground, that they might no more fall into such evils. But if they should at any time sin, that they might be chastised by him more gently, and not be delivered up to barbarians and blasphemous men.
10:5.
Now upon the same day that the temple had been polluted by the strangers, on the very same day it was cleansed again. To wit, on the 25th day of the month of Casleu.
10:6.
And they kept 8 days with joy, after the manner of the Feast of the Tabernacles, remembering that not long before they had kept the Feast of the Tabernacles when they were in the mountains, and in dens like wild beasts.
10:7.
Therefore they now carried boughs and green branches and palms, for him that had given them good success in cleansing his place.
10:8.
And they ordained by a common statute, and decree, that all the nation of the Jews should keep those days every year.
10:9.
And this was the end of Antiochus, that was called the Illustrious.
10:10.
But now we will repeat the acts of Eupator, the son of that wicked Antiochus, abridging the account of the evils that happened in the wars.
10:11.
For when he was come to the crown, he appointed over the affairs of his realm one Lysias, general of the army of Phoenicia and Syria.
10:12.
For Ptolemy, that was called Macer, was determined to be strictly just to the Jews, and especially by reason of the wrong that had been done them, and to deal peaceably with them.
10:13.
But being accused for this to Eupator by his friends, and being oftentimes called traitor, because he had left Cyprus, which Philometor had committed to him, and coming over to Antiochus the Illustrious, had revolted also from him, he put an end to his life by poison.
10:14.
But Gorgias, who was governor of the holds, taking with him the strangers, often fought against the Jews.
10:15.
And the Jews that occupied the most commodious holds, received those that were driven out of Jerusalem, and attempted to make war, the Jews, etc. He speaks of them that had fallen from their religion, and were enemies of their country, who joining with the Idumeans or Edomites, kept possession of the strongholds, and from thence annoyed their countrymen.
10:16. Then they that were with Maccabeus, beseeching the Lord by prayers to be their helper, made a strong attack upon the strongholds of the Idumeans.
10:17. And assaulting them with great force, won the holds, killed them that came in the way, and slew altogether no fewer than 20,000.
10:18.
And whereas some were fled into very strong towers, having all manner of provision to sustain a siege.
10:19.
Maccabeus left Simon and Joseph, and Zeus, and them that were with them, in sufficient number to besiege them, and departed to those expeditions which urged more.
10:20.
Now they that were with Simon, being led with covetousness, were persuaded for the sake of money by some that were in the towers, and taking 70,000 drachmas, let some of them escape.
10:21.
But when it was told Maccabeus what was done, he assembled the rulers of the people, and accused those men that they had sold their brethren for money, having let their adversaries escape.
10:22.
So he put these traitors to death, and forthwith took the two towers.
10:23.
And having good success in arms, and all things he took in hand, he slew more than 20,000 in the two holds.
10:24.
But Timotheus, who before had been overcome by the Jews, having called together a multitude of foreign troops, and assembled horsemen out of Asia, claimed as though he would take Judea by force of arms.
10:25.
But Maccabeus, and they that were with him, when he drew near, prayed to the Lord, sprinkling earth upon their heads, and girding their loins with hair cloth.
10:26.
And lying prostrate at the foot of the altar, besought him to be merciful to them, and to be an enemy to their enemies, and an adversary to their adversaries, as the law saith.
10:27.
And so after prayer taking their arms, they went forth further from the city, and when they were come very near the enemies they rested.
10:28.
But as soon as the sun was risen both sides joined battle, the one part having, with their valor, the Lord for a surety of victory, and success, but the other side making their rage their leader in battle.
10:29.
But when they were in the heat of the engagement, there appeared to the enemies from heaven 5 men upon horses, comely, with golden bridles, conducting the Jews.
10:30.
Two of them took Maccabeus between them, and covered him on every side with their arms, and kept him safe, but cast darts and fireballs against the enemy, so that they fell down, being both confounded with blindness, and filled with trouble.
10:31.
And there were slain 20,500, and 600 horsemen.
10:32.
But Timotheus fled into Gazara, a stronghold where Teras was governor.
10:33.
Then Maccabeus, and they that were with him cheerfully laid siege to the fortress 4 days.
10:34.
But they that were within, trusting to the strength of the place, blasphemed exceedingly, and cast forth abominable words.
10:35.
But when the 5th day appeared, 20 young men of them that were with Maccabeus, inflamed in their minds, because of the blasphemy, approached manfully to the wall, and pushing forward with fierce courage, got up upon it.
10:36.
Moreover, others also getting up after them, went to set fire to the towers and the gates, and to burn the blasphemers alive.
10:37.
And having for 2 days together pillaged and sacked the fortress, they killed Timotheus, who was found hid in a certain place. They slew also his brother Teras, and Apollophans.
Timotheus,
this man, who was killed at the taking of Gazara, is different from the Timotheus who is mentioned in the 5th chapter of the 1st book of Maccabees, and of whom there is mention in the following chapter.
10:38.
And when this was done, they blessed the Lord with hymns and thanksgiving, who had done great things in Israel, and given them the victory.